James chapter 1 this morning. We are going to finish our series, not the book, not even the chapter, but our series. 5 weeks we have been looking at five verses. Here in verses 21 through 25, we have seen a call by James to those that were with him, those that he was writing to get hearts ready to receive the word. Hearts that with meekness, hearts that take in the Word of God, but for a purpose of doing that Word, a purpose of making that Word a part of their lives, and a real exhortation of not being self-deceived, just being hearers and not doers, and really a danger there. And we looked at that last week, that danger of taking in the Word, but not with the intent to obey the Word. And in verse 25, we come to really the climax, if you would, of the entire passage and some very practical instruction of how to make sure we aren't those that forget the word, that we aren't those that just hear and not obey. And he gives us some practical steps. And so I pray that God would really grab a hold of our hearts today. Verse 25 reads this, "And he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And I want to read verse 21 and on just for context. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save the soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Would you pray with me one more time? God, I just come, Lord, today in the name of Jesus. And I just have to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, I'm so humbled, God, at reading it. I'm humbled at the opportunity to teach it to your people. And God, I come this morning with just great, God, seriousness and sobriety in my heart. God, talking about the precepts, God, of your word. Help me, Lord, to be faithful, to explain, to exhort, to, Lord, as your word says, to rebuke, to teach, to encourage, to preach your word in season and out of season. God, I pray that you would just magnify your word higher than your name, as God, you said you do. Lord, we know that your word is manifested through preaching. I pray you'd manifest your word right now through preaching. God, teach us, equip us. God, do revival, we pray, in us, please. And we just thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. What a privilege it is to have the Word of God, isn't it? Isn't it a privilege? And you know, I think sometimes we forget that. I study God's Word so much. I'm often reminded of those that didn't have, those that were Christians like you and I, didn't have the Word of God. I'm reminded of those that don't have the Word of God today that are Christians alive in this world. I'm reminded of those who suffer under persecution, suffer under threat of death, to have the Bible, to be found with the Scriptures. And it just, it moves me. I'll be honest, it moves me to really give God my attention when I read His Word and when His Word speaks, and really not to waste it. You know, in a sense, honor those that don't have it and live for not only myself in God's Word and my own walk, but to live for them. What would they do if they could have it today? Wow, how would they respond to it? Would they just take it as a nice little neat Bible study, a couple points, and maybe some stories, illustrations, and some application, and go on our ways? I mean, just think about if you told right now those churches that are underground in the Middle East today that you could have a Bible and you could study it. In fact, you could just read anything you wanted. You could read all the commentaries you wanted. You could listen to all the sermons, and you could do that out in the park. you could do that out in public. You could go to church this morning and they're just going to expound the scriptures there. And you're going to get fed the word of God. Wow. What? How they would respond to that. That freedom. You know, and as we celebrate the freedom of our country this weekend, as we honor those that gave their lives for the freedom of our country, literally died, many that we don't know about, many that were tortured in amazing ways, that gave their lives, gave their families, gave of everything they had so that you and I could have freedom. And I just think of the saints of old that gave their lives, that went through great torture, great pain, great trauma, their families that suffered, so that we could have the word of God in the common language of the common man. It moves me. And we ought to honor them. But you know, I think the best way you could honor them is by honoring the Lord. And the best way we could do that is by honoring His word and holding it dear to our hearts. It is truly freedom. It is truly liberty. James here, writing the first early epistle of the New Testament, calls the Bible, calls the Word of God, the law of liberty. The law of liberty. It's almost a paradox. Law, liberty. But that's what it is. The truths, the principles that bring forth liberty. Because the gospel liberates man. The Word of God will not bind you up, will not hold you back. It will not take away that which will bring you ultimate blessing and satisfaction, but it will set you free. It will set you free. The Word of God heeded, will bring such blessing in your life. James gives us four practical steps to take to receive that blessing. Because he says there in verse 25 at the end, he says, "This one will be." This will be, it's an absolute. This one will be blessed. Where? In what he does. The blessing will be for those who do. That's what he's saying. The blessing will be for those who obey. There is great blessing in obedience. But the need is the doing. It reminds me of kind of the slogan that the Nike Corporation took on in the late 80s, early 90s. Maybe some of you don't remember, but they had, you know, Michael Jordan, who is the all-time greatest NBA basketball player. And you guys know who he is, most of you. Those of you who care less about basketball probably know who he is. I mean, if you're around in the 80s and 90s, you probably saw his commercials. And, you know, his slogan was for Nike, "Just do it. Just do it." And the reason was because it was his kind of philosophy in life, because when he was in the ninth grade, he tried out for the ninth grade basketball team. He was cut from the team. The coach said, "You are too small, you're not fast enough, and your overall basketball ability just isn't there." And so he decided, you know, you could quit at a time like that. You could just say, "Well, forget it, I'm not there." But that lit his fire, and he went on, obviously, to work hard and to become the greatest basketball player known to man today. And, you know, I think about someone with such a fervor, someone with such a heart, a willingness to work and labor and to accomplish something that's just for a ball and a hoop. How much more for the gospel of Jesus Christ should our slogan, philosophy, just do it? We're just going to do it. We're going to do what? We're going to do the word. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how many times you fall down. Anyone that knows about training for athletics and obviously professional athletics knows how much work it is and how many times you fail. And you got to just keep going. You just never quit. You never give up. Well, the word of God will bring liberty to our lives if we will do that. If we can just have that heart. That heart of perseverance, that heart that says, "I will keep going, I will never stop, I will not step back." I like how Charles Spurgeon defined perseverance. He said, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." I like that. by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. He maybe wasn't the quickest kid on the street, but he got there. How? He just kept doing it. And you might be going at a snail's pace today in your obedience to the Word of God. But there's one thing you can't do is you can't quit. The soldiers didn't quit when they fought for the freedom of this country. The saints didn't quit when they fought for the freedom of the Bible. We can't quit. Christ didn't quit. We are not quitters. We are Christians and we must keep going. Whether we're running, like a cheetah or we're running like a snail, we got to keep going. And if we could just get that and just say once again, because we've said it before, that's it. I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it. And do it. We will find that there is great blessing in those who do what God says. James gives us, as I said, four simple steps of that. They're found in just phrases here. Let's break this down. And I could spend 5 weeks in this one verse. God's word is so rich. But we won't. He says, first of all, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. The first phrase we find here is the phrase looks into. It's an interesting one. It's one that speaks about stooping down. It's one in the Greek that's a gaze. It's peering into. It literally means a turning the body and stooping down. It's taking a second look, if you would. A gazing into. It's the word that's used in John chapter 20 in verses 5 and verse 11 for the disciples and for Mary when they came to the tomb and they looked down. They peered into the tomb. It's a word that probably if we were to translate it in our modern language, if we were to bring its true meaning out, it would read this way. It would read, but he who not looks into, but he who reads intently or he who studies carefully. That's the meaning James is getting to. It speaks about an intent. It speaks about a carefulness. It speaks about examination of. So what's he saying? He's saying that we first, if we're going to be doers of the word, we first need to be those that examine the word. We've got to have careful contemplation and look at the word of God. I think that's so important. You know, we talk so much about being a doer of the word and not a hearer. Sometimes I think we can get discouraged and say, well, I've heard so much. I don't need to hear anymore. I just need to do. And we stop studying God's word. Bible study is so valuable and so important. Without it, you will never grow as a Christian. You will never grow as a Christian. That's what James is saying. James is saying, and you need to do Bible study. You know, James is talking about something more than a devotional reading, a daily, just glance at the Word of God. And that's kind of the contrast here, the looking intently into. It's more than a glance. It's a second step. It's taking a closer look. That's the way we would say it. I need to take a closer look at that. I need to examine that. I really need to research that. I need to make sure I know what that is about. Church, we so desperately need to do that with God's word. And hopefully, I faithfully bring that to you every week. That is my intent. That is my desire, is to dig through the scriptures and to bring you the word of God. And not some just, nice little neat surface message. But really, not my opinions, but God's word. And as you just take this and break it down, it's powerful. It's fun. It's stirring. It's exciting. This is the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And God says, this is what I want you to do with my Word. I want you to intently, carefully examine it, study it, read it, mine it, dig in it, dig deeper, because I've got something for you there. There's something. The end of it is blessing. It's waiting for you. But you got to get in to the Word of God. Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy, all of us know the verse probably. He says there in verse 15 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, be diligent. It's the first thing, be diligent. It's the idea of be careful, carefully examine. The old King James says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Be diligent to be approved before God, to be right before God. He says here, a workman, it takes work. There is work involved in Bible study. That's why a lot of times we don't do a lot of Bible study. And I'm not talking just here. This is very important. But personally, sometimes, to be honest, we're lucky if we are reading the Bible, let alone studying it. But how in the world can I, when I'm in a trial in life, when I'm at a crossroad in life, how in the world can I know what God's will is if I just have to remember some Bible study I heard, some sermon? There will be things, but the point is, listen, the style of teaching that you get here at Calvary Chapel Saving Grace is a style that will feed those that are in the Word. Those that say, I want to know the Word. Those that say, you know what, I'm going to read James over and over. And we want to see you grow in the Word. We want to see you go deep in the Word. Because we know this. Obviously, it's exactly what the Bible says. We didn't make it up. It's not our pain. It's what God says. We know this, that if you study the Word of God, you will know the Lord. And obviously, there's going to be a next step. It's not just study and I know the Lord. But that's the first step. You got to study. You've got to dig in. You know, people say, well, why do you have to, you know, do all that Bible study? Just, you know, just do it. Well, what are you supposed to do? You got to know what you're supposed to do it. It's so vital. You know, he says here that a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is an importance that we need to take. We've offered courses at our church. Oh, we're just finishing up our School of Discipleship right now. In the future, we'll offer more courses of how to study the Bible. Because that's so important. That each and every one of us know how to study the Word of God. Again, here we have soldiers in America for centuries that have given their life so that we can have freedom. We have saints in the church that have given their life so we can have the Bible. What is the greatest way to honor them and to ultimately honor the Lord is to take what they gave us. They thought it was important. They thought it was so important they gave their life for it. That's how important it was to them. And you know what? Many of them during the time of the Reformation and when the Word of God began to get translated into the common man's language, what they gave their life for is that very thing. Getting the Word of God to the common man. Getting the Word of God out of the hands so much of only being in the minister's hands or in the priest's hands or the pope's hands and bringing the Word of God to the common man because they said, we believe God's Word was written for the common man. It doesn't take a scholar to interpret and understand God's Word. And in fact, if the church doesn't have the Word of God in their hands that they can take up, that they can study, then the church will never ever know God and will never know the will of God and never be able to ultimately walk with God. They believed that so much that they were burnt at the stake, that they were crucified, that they were killed with the sword. I mean, you know what it's like to be burnt at the stake? Well, of course you don't because you never have, nor do I. But I can only imagine what it's like to be, I mean, they put, you know, tying you to a stake or some kind of a cross and they light a fire. I mean, they melted. And the stories of those that are raising their hands in worship to God, and they could have been released from that if they would have just denounced their beliefs about the Bible and about the grace of God and about what they found in the Bible. If they just renounced these things, they'd be set free. But they died with their flesh being melted off of their bodies because they believed that the Word of God was worthy to be studied. Worthy to be given to you and I. And I thank God today for their great sacrifice. And it just stirs me. It stirs me to say, there must be something in this book that I maybe don't know about, that is so exciting, that is so provoking, that is so life-changing, that it would cause men and women to go to that extent. And today we run around with all of these trials and problems that we have, and often take a quick glance at the Bible, read some devotional, But all along, the answers are found right here. But it's going to take a workman who's going to be willing to rightly divide the word of truth, to dig in, to mine how important it is. This is what was said of the Bereans, right? It says that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness and they searched the scriptures daily. Now, word catches my attention. Acts 17:11 is what I'm quoting from. That they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They weren't just there that heard Paul. I mean, here's Paul. He's the teacher, the theologian, the apostle. They weren't there just to hear him. They were there to say, whoa, what's he saying? Let's see if that's what the Bible says. And so they took it up into their own hands and they searched the scriptures on a daily basis to see if these things were so. The only way we'll know if these things are so is if we get in the Word of God and find out for ourselves. Don't you want to know yourself? I think we live in a culture that favors that I want to know. I don't want to go on someone else's shoulders. I don't want to live on someone else's opinion. And how much more should we know the Word of God? I mean, this is an eternal thing. This is heaven and hell. I mean, do you want to know if you're saved today? Do you want me just to say, hey, you're saved, don't worry about it? Is that good enough for you? Because when you stand before God, that doesn't mean anything. Do you know that you're saved? Because you know what the Bible says about salvation. You know how to get saved and you can recall the verses. Like you have a conviction and a security in your own heart that you're walking in truth. You follow what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that we need to know. How do I know this is the will of God? Because a few people told me? Or because I believe that's what the Word of God teaches. The only way you can truly know if you're in the light, the only way you can truly know if you're on the right path is by knowing the Word of God. Is it important? It's vitally important. Without it, we're in the dark. Therefore, the Word of God tells us we need to study. We need to take it up. It is a lifelong job. A lifelong task of studying God's Word, taking in God's Word, mining God's Word, and it's a joy. Any of you guys, gals that study, you're smiling right now. Because you just, I love that. Oh, I love studying. You know, some of you guys are thinking about the books you haven't read and, you know, the things you want to get to. And because those of us that have tasted of it know the joy of it. Know the power of it. Know the things that it's saying right now. The Word of God saying to us is so true. And what does it bring? It shows us the liberty, the law of liberty. It's very powerful. God's Word is worthy to be studied. James then says, after saying that we are to look intently into the perfect law, he says, and continue in it. It's like he is Mr. Emphasis. He's always re-emphasizing. You know, it's like, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Then he'll say it again. Now he says it again. He says, we ought to look into the word, the perfect law of liberty, and make sure you do this. Keep doing it. That's what he's saying. Keep doing it. Make sure you keep looking in to the perfect law of liberty. You know, and I think that hits a very, very vital point that we struggle with today in the church and in our culture. And that is that we often are those that will start something, but not finish it. How many books did you get excited about, all stirred up about it? You got it in a Bible bookstore and you're, I've got to read this, and you have yet to finish it. How many of you started? I mean, it's probably more than one. We've probably started more. How many books? I'm going to study the book of James. Oh, yeah, I'm excited. You know, we kick off the study. You're taking notes. You're pumped up. You know, but now today, you're just kind of back to normal. You're not doing what you thought you wanted to do. And it's our culture. We are pros at starting things and not completing them. What James is saying in this word here that he's talking about is to remain, to continue, to keep on, to make it a habit and not something that's an occasion in our lives. I think that I could probably safely say this morning that probably for most of us, there has been a time that we've dug into the Word of God, that we took up some things, we had some tools, and we studied the Scriptures. But the question that we need to ask ourselves, because if I want to get to the blessing at the end, which I think all of us do, if you don't, well, you're deceived. You really do want the blessing. Trust me, it's a great blessing. If I want to get to the end, I need to take the proper steps. And one of the reasons we don't get to the end, and we go, oh, I did that. There's it is, right there. I did that. Not I'm doing that. I did that. I did that and it didn't work. It didn't work because you didn't keep on doing it. This word here, to continue in it, is a word that simply means that. It means to have continual action. It's a word that means to stay besides. Means to remain. Means it stays there. It's not going anywhere. I like how it's translated in some of our modern translations. The today's English version translates, keeps on paying attention to it. The person keeps on. So I want to start. I want to look into the perfect law of liberty and keep on paying attention to it. Philip translation translates it, makes a habit of so doing it. I like that word habit. I think that really speaks to what it needs to be in our lives. The NIV translates it to continues to do this. And he continues to look into the perfect law of liberty. We need to continue in it, church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That was the early church. The success of the early church is they didn't start and stop, but they continued. In my experience of being a pastor, I've seen a lot of people start strong, real strong. In fact, maybe too strong. Very zealous, very moved, very emotional, very excited. But to be honest with you today, they're not continuing down that road. Some of them aren't even walking with the Lord. And that's really what matters. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, excited and emotional and doing this or that. What matters is the day by day, the reality, the consistency. And so you need to, as I need to, ask myself the question, how consistent am I? You know, to the pastor, Paul writes, and he says to preach the word in season and out of season. There are times that it's going to be easy. That there are times that seasons speak many times in the farming culture of fruit. There's times it's going to be bearing tremendous amount of fruit. There's other times the fruit tree's, you know, losing its leaves. The buds aren't on it. There's times that it's being pruned. But the word is still continue. We're to still continue. We're to do it in season and out of season. And I think, you know, for us as Christians, we're to study the Word of God the same way. The same way that God calls the preacher to preach it, He calls the Christian to study it, to continue. You know, times start not going so well in our life. We don't feel like we're experiencing great blessing. And so what we do is we stop doing that which we know to do. We stop studying. Maybe we stop coming to churches regularly. We stop attending Bible studies. We just taper off in our lives of that which really is going to feed our souls and give us the wisdom and the strength we need to keep. We stop doing devotions and we stop studying the Word. What a word. What a good word. I mean, if you want to just, you know, hit the nail on the head, what's my problem? My problem is it's sporadic and it's not consistent. My time in God's Word is sporadic and it's not consistent. And I say that to be true. That I struggle with the same thing you do. Yeah, I can put a message together. I have to. I mean, I've got to dig in. If I don't dig in, I'm going to stand up here like, hey, yeah, it's cool text, isn't it? You know, I mean, and you're going to be like, ah, Pastor Trent, you know, he's weak. I mean, his message is weak. You know, so I dig in. There's no doubt about that to put a study together. But what about for myself? What about in my own life? You see, I'm just like you. I don't live on a cloud and come down here on Sundays. You know, I live in a house. And I live with kids and a wife and I live in this world and I have neighbors and I have people that like me and I have people that hate me. And, you know, I drive on the same streets. I mean, I live a real life. And that real life requires real Christianity. And that real Christianity requires a good, hard study of God's Word. And if you don't do it, then you will suffer the consequences of not receiving the blessing. Now, let me say the blessing is here and in the future. And if you were to read some commentaries, probably most of them would say it's a future blessing. I mean, we're looking for blessing today. Okay, I read this morning. Where's the blessing? You know, just kind of like, okay, Lord, I got up earlier today. I prayed a little longer. I read some scripture. You got your day. Okay, it's going to be a good day. And you find it's got to be one of your worst days of the month. And you just go, well, forget that. Because we're looking for immediate gratification. We're looking for immediate blessing. That's not what God's Word teaches. And as we dig in, we go, okay, wait. We need to change our minds here. We need a little different attitude towards this. It's not going to be immediate blessing. In fact, the blessing is going to be eternal. There will certainly be blessing here and now. But it won't be maybe what we think blessing is. The word blessing is that word. It's the same blessings that Jesus blessed, the Beatitudes, the blessed are. The word is satisfied. The word is spiritually fulfilled in God, Christ. Church, there is riches. We will be fed. We will be nourished. We will be strong. We'll be able to walk with the Lord. But it must be a consistent lifestyle for us. The third thing then, if you want to talk about piling up these phrases, he says, and not a forgetful hearer. I mean, it's almost like he says the same thing, but he doesn't. He says, look closely, study carefully, keep doing that. And remember this, don't forget what you've looked closely to and you continued in. Well, that's a good word for me. That's a real good word for me. Don't forget. How is it that I am going to not forget the Word of God? I don't know about you, but I'm a very forgetful person. My mind isn't on the top of, you know, the minds in this room. I can guarantee you that. My memory is weak, you know, and a lot of times people think, oh, Pastor Trent, you have such an incredible memory because they hear me preach and I quote a lot of verses And that's from a lot of work. Trust me, that doesn't come. I'm not like one of those just naturally, you know, you just memorize stuff. You know, we can study the Word of God. And we can keep studying the Word of God. But we need to remember to not forget the Word of God. And can I say it this way? In our trials. And I think that's what James talked about. Again, the context of the trials that you're going through. And that's when we usually forget the Word of God. When we don't feel the blessing. When it requires an element of faith. When we've waited and waited and waited and we feel like we're continuing to wait and there's no answer. Is that then when we say, okay, that doesn't work, move on to the next thing? Doesn't that go back to the continuing? Yes, it's not just a continuing study. It's a continuing in trusting. It's a continuing leaning your life on. It's a continuing obeying. To continue in the Word of God, yes, it's so vital. And not to forget it. I find that if I fill my heart with the Word of God, and I fill my memory with the Word of God, God is able to then draw from that memory and really guide me and lead me. I think the memorization of Scripture is on the top of the list here. I think if James was writing to us today in our common language, he would say, and memorize the Word of God and do whatever you can not to forget the Word of God. Church, we live in a culture that memorizing things isn't something that we normally do. It's not a part of our culture like it is of the culture James is writing to, the cultures of many people even today, and all of the cultures between the beginning of time and now. They were heavily dependent upon the memorization of facts, of truths, of Scripture, of these kinds of things. They didn't live, you know, like right now I have this pulpit up here. I have a Bible to read from. I have notes that I've got up here. I've got things to remind me. We have so many reminders in our life that it causes us not to have to remember anything. It's like you can just hit cruise control. I mean, our computers tell us what time it is. I don't know. Does your computer do that? My brother's got a Mac now. He's big on Macs. And, you know, it's a big joke in our office. He thinks the world, if everyone went to Mac, we'd be close to heaven. But, you know, his computer talks to him, his new Mac. We're better at the Macs, by the way. But his new Mac, you know, it's 11 o'clock. It's 12 o'clock. You know, you got those little phones, or they're not so little. You know, you flip them open. They got all kinds. They talk. They tell us what time it is. They beep. We got this to remind us. You know, we've got, you know, in our computers or our phones or whatever it is we've got, you know, our list and our task. And because we couldn't make it. And we have trained ourselves not to be able to function without our stuff. You know what happens when my brother's computer crashes? He crashes. That's why he says he has a Mac, because they don't crash him. Anyways, you know, it's true. And so what I'm saying is we have trained ourselves to depend on other things than our own memories. And that carries over in our walk with God. And I'm not saying it's sin to have reminders. I'm not saying any of that. Of course, I've got them all too. And I'm thankful for them because I'm pretty dumb and I need them. And we got a lot more usually going on than they did in the first century in one day. But what I'm saying is when it comes to spiritual things, we just, you know, I'll whip open my word search when I need to find a word. Instead of being able to scroll through my heart and mind and saying, what's God's word say about this sin? What's God's word say about this topic as I'm praying, as I'm seeking the Lord? It's like it's just a blank up there. It's all somewhere else. We reach out to grab a sermon on that topic. We reach out to, you know, I reach out to my computer and I do a search on that or something. We go out to the internet and see what's out there instead of go to the Bible. Because we don't know how to get through the Bible. Because the Bible's not a part of us. And I think in a very simplistic way, in a very simple culture, and one that we could really use, what James is saying here is he's saying, don't forget the Word. Remember, it's the Word of God that we need. It's the Word of God that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's the Word of God that's our guide. And many times we can't even go to the Word of God because we haven't studied it. We haven't looked intently and continued there. But if we have, make sure you don't forget it. Make sure that it's not a bunch of sermons or a bunch of notes. I've got a lot of notes on my computer. When my computer crashed, boy, I was scared because there's some recent stuff I didn't back up. And, whoa, you know, you learn to back up. But, you know, a lot of study, a lot of facts, a lot of good stuff, a lot of things that I had studied were on that computer. But the question is, are they in my heart? What happens when they take away my Bible? Is the Word of God in me? Because this is who lives. It's right here. This is my soul, spirit, my body. This is who I am. What happens if today we are taken and put into jail and the Word of God's taken away from us? We have no access to any of these things we depend on. Is the Word of God in us? You know, a verse early on in my Christian relationship with the Lord was given to me by studying, but the Lord really impressed it on me, and it was John 14:26. And in John 14:26, it says, He, the Helper, will come, who's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you. Now think about it. You ask yourself the question, how in the world did the Gospels be written? How did the disciples write the Gospels? You realize they're written many years after the life of Christ. Well, that verse is referring to it. But because they lived in a culture too. It's hard for us to comprehend. They lived in a culture where they learned everything they learned by memory. It was passed on from generation to generation. They didn't go walk around with scrolls under their arms with the Word of God. I mean, can you imagine walking around with a New Testament? 26 scrolls under your arm. I mean, that's the culture they lived in. They memorized Scripture. They memorized truth. They were accustomed to living in a culture that they just remembered things. Because if you didn't remember it, you didn't have it. And so they remembered these things. As we place God's Word into our heart and we begin to memorize things, the Holy Spirit is able to draw those things out at the right time. And here's really the key. It's the Spirit of God that's going to bring to my mind the things that He's taught me. And this is what the Lord spoke to me early on in my life, in my walk with God. He said, if it's your job is to get it into you, my job is to get it out. Your job is to put it in those memory banks, and I will draw it out at the proper time, the right thing for the right time. We do have a job, church. Understand that. We do have a calling. We do have a responsibility to memorize the Word of God. Get it in. And I want to tell you, your life is going to be blessed the more of God's Word that's in you. You know what things we struggle over. You know, we agonize over that thing called the will of God, don't we? I mean, we agonize over what's the will of God. Do you realize the more of the Scriptures you have in your heart, the more of the will of God will become clear to you? You know, and the Bible isn't made up like we would like it to be. You know, when you're looking for a new job, turn to chapter 37 of the New Testament. And it's about jobs and how you know the will of God in jobs. You see, that's we work by manuals. God says, no, I want you to search. Search means a little here, a little there. Keep searching, keep digging. Search my word. And as we begin to get God's word into our hearts and our lives, God then can direct us and draw it out of us. And we won't be as quick to forget because it's there. You know, there are some things that I've memorized. I can't just quote to you right now. But when the Lord's ministering to me, when, you know, think about this. Okay, you know, you're in prayer and you're saying, God, I need you to speak to me. And you're praying. Can you imagine if your heart and mind was just filled with the Word of God? I'll tell you this. And I'll tell you this by experience. God will speak to you. He'll just start laying verses on your heart. He'll start directing you. He'll start saying, remember, this is who I am. This is, you know, this is my character because you got the Word of God in you. And you will find direction. It's that simple, church. But a lot of times we just draw a blank. We don't even know what to do because we're just kind of walking in the darkness because we don't have the light of the Word to guide us. And it's not when you're in prayer a time to go, let's go do a word search. Sometimes we do that and we go do a word search and we start studying. And I mean, and we get totally distracted on really what God wants to speak to. And we're just kind of, then we leave a few hours later kind of frustrated. Like, well, you know, again, it's not like it spells it out. But that devotion, that intimacy, that relationship, that time of prayer, when your heart is filled with the Word of God, there is a clear directing by the Holy Spirit that can be done in a much more effective way than in the way that maybe we go to the Lord. But that comes from consistency. Do you know it wouldn't be hard for you to memorize one verse every week? One verse. Can you imagine? If when you got saved, you said, I'm going to memorize one verse every week, how many verses of the Bible you would know right now? I mean, it's overwhelming to me to think about how much. And, you know, you can memorize, you write it down on a card and just put it in your pocket and take it with you. And what's that going to do? It's going to cause you to meditate on the Word of God. Well, that's going to be a blessing for you in your day. Just meditate on the Scripture. Just getting the Scriptures in us. It's not a, you know, a lofty, difficult, unreachable goal. It's very simple. And, you know, when you're in a trial is when you normally forget the Word of God. In Psalm 119, the psalmist cries out. Turn there if you would. Psalm 119. I want you to see this. And we've already looked at Psalm 119. Start at verse 11. We're just kind of, I think, is a summary passage of what I'm saying. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, there's a lot there. I don't have time to deal with it all, but the hiding of God's word in your heart, it's more than just intellectually memorizing. It's, I believe this. It's meaningful to me. I'll hide it in my heart. That's why I choose to memorize Scripture that is the Lord is maybe ministering to me. It's easier. It's real easy to memorize it because it means something and it's ministering, it's feeding you. But look at verse 16. Look at the word forget. I'm amazed at how many times it's found here. I will delight myself. I'm on Psalm 119. I'm in verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes and will not forget your word. Look at verse 83. You know, the psalmist is in a trial. And in that trial is when we usually forget the word. Verse 83. For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. A wineskin in smoke is, he's just talking about, he's become repulsive. It's like a thermos filled with ashes. I'm struggling. I'm like a wineskin in smoke, but I will hold to your word. I won't forget your word. Look at verse 93 with me. I have never forgotten your, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Look at verse 109. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Look at verse 141. Verse 141. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Clear theme. Look at verse 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Look at verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. I like that. Lord, seek your servant. I'm a lost sheep. For I do not forget your commandments. I mean, just an utter commitment to holding on to the Word of God and not forgetting the Word of God in his time of trial. That's what James is saying. To continue in the perfect law of liberty, or to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue there and not forgetting the Word of God. God has so much for us. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. God constantly is telling us not to forget. Why? Because we're so forgetful. He knows that. Church, memorize the Word of God. Put it to memory. Put the Word of God, hide the Word of God in your heart. Hold to the Word of God. This has everything to do with your belief of the Word of God. What's the Word of God mean to you? And that really brings us back to the beginning of our message. What's it really mean? Is it important? Is it honorable? Is it worth dying for? Is it worth trusting in? If it is, then it's worth studying. And it's worth studying as a habit of life. And it's worth then to put it on my memory and to hide in my heart and to hold near. And then it's worth doing. For James says to not be a forgetful hearer, but he says, but a doer of the work. And I love how he changes that, because all through this passage, it's been a doer of the word, a doer of the word, a doer of the word, and now it's a doer of the work. And then he says, and this one will be blessed in what he does. There's blessing in doing. Obviously, all of our Bible study, all of our memorization, all of what we've talked about thus far means nothing if we're not coming with a heart ready to obey. We must have a heart ready to obey. What is my goal? The goal is that I study, I memorize, I make it a habit of my life so that I will do it. That's the goal. Is that your goal today? Is that my goal? That has to be our goal. And I think many times we fall short there. And we talked about this last week, and I'm not going to belabor that point, but we talked about how that many times by studying, by hearing, by knowing, we think we're doing. And that's not true. In fact, there's great deception there. How important it is for us to do the Word of God. You know, as I think through this, I think about the application of Scripture. That's what James is saying. It's time to apply it. Scripture should really take control of my thought life. It should shape my mind. People say, you know, Christianity, you guys are just getting brainwashed. I respond to them as, you're right. It's dirty and it needs to be washed. I've got a dirty, filthy brain and it needs to be washed with the Word of God. Now, they don't always like that response. They think, you know, whatever, you're in a cult or whatever. But they're more willing to depend on them, their own thinking and their own self. Listen, let me ask you this question. What's the Word of God to you this morning? When the Word of God says something to you, do you say, okay, that's what we got to do? Or do you go, well, kind of. There are two different kinds of people. There are the people that read the Word of God and are bound to the Word of God by conviction that the Word of God is the Word of God and it is to be obeyed, and there's no debating with the Word of God. There's no, you know, compromising the Word of God. You do it. Then there's others that say, you know, I like the Word of God, and when I find something in the Word of God that I like, I do it. But when there's things in there that I don't like, well, I just kind of ignore them. I willfully forget them. You know, Peter says they willfully forgotten. You know, there is a willful forgetting that we can do. And James says that we need to be those that take heed to the Word of God. Listen, what group are you in today? Are you in the category of people today where the Word of God to you is to be obeyed, submitted to? Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, and whatever His Word says, you do it. That's the right category, obviously. There's no other category to be in. The only other categories are out there are ones to be turned from and turned to submission to the Word of God. But ask yourself the question, do I live my life like that? Because if you do, then you really need to know what the Word of God has to say, right? I mean, if it's the final authority in your life, when you go to make decisions, you should be saying, what's the Word of God say? When you're struggling, what's the Word of God say? When we talk about the will of God, well, it's the Word of God. What's it say to us? The Word of God should shape the way I think. It should answer the questions of how I spend my money, how I spend my time. My philosophy in life should be built and shaped by the Word of God. And hopefully all of our life's philosophy and attitude towards life is constantly being shaped by the Word of God. There's a kingdom of God and a kingdom of the world. There's the Spirit of God and there's myself. The Word of God tells me I'm to die to myself and to let go of the kingdom of the world and live my life, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That there's a will of God that there's to be followed. There's the Word of God that's to guide and govern those lives. If the Word of God says that sexual immorality is sin, it's sin. There's no getting out of it. It's sin and it must be stopped. If the Word of God says that lying is sin, then it's sin. And you can't say, well, you got to understand because I'm in the sales business. I got to lie. Well, you're in violation of the Word of God and you're dishonoring God. And then you're praying, God bless my business. You see what I'm saying? It gets down to the depths of our hearts. The Word of God is the Word of God and it stands. And it is to be obeyed. It is to be followed. It is to be heeded. And there is not bondage there, but there's blessing there. That's where I think we fail. We fail to see that there's great blessing. God isn't binding us up. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us satisfaction and bring us near to Him. There is no blessing in disobeying God's Word. Ultimately, there's ruin. The Bible says we will reap what we sow. We sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. Church, we need to really examine our hearts. We cannot go around and compromise our lives and think, oh, it's okay, it's no big deal. The Word of God is to be obeyed and followed wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. And we must do it. And you know what? There is a great blessing there. There is great blessing. When James talks about to be doers of the work, it brings up that idea of work. The Word of God should produce an amazing work in your life. And I pray it has. I pray it does. Paul said this is the purpose we were born again. We were saved by grace, he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In verse 10, he says, but we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is what we were born again for. You were born again unto good works. You read it later. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You were born again unto good works, which says God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. I wish I had more time to spend on that passage. It's so rich. It's so life-giving. It's God is prepared. God wants to do them. How is God glorified? Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 there, I think it's verse 16, he says, let your works so shine among men that they would see, or your light so shine among men that they would see your good works. So men are to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. When we obey the word, it becomes good works in our life. And it brings honor to God. It glorifies God. God is not glorified when the church's light is dim. Because there's no good works. There should be good works all over. Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Let me read it to you. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable for all men. They're not a bummer. They don't take life away. They give life. They're good and profitable for all men. Notice he says they should be careful to maintain good works. And in Titus 3, he goes on in verse 14 to say this, let our people also learn to maintain good works. He says it twice in a few verses. We ought to maintain them. They ought to be a part of our life. There ought to be life coming from us. There ought to be good works flowing out of us. Brothers and sisters, I cannot express to you enough how important it is for you and I to bear good fruit. And those good works would be a part of us. And it's a part of that blessing. There's such blessing when you're doing the right thing. Such blessing when God is using you. Such blessing when God is being glorified. Remember, the word blessing doesn't mean happy. It means satisfied. And there's a difference. Not happy because of a situation, but satisfied that God is being honored, that God is being glorified. Do you realize that you and I can have joy and we can have satisfaction in the midst of suffering? Because we know that God is working. We know that God is being glorified. And there's a worship in our hearts. There's a longing for God. There's a love for God that we have within us. And there is a great satisfaction there. Think about that blessing. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed. There's that word blessed. Blessed is this man. A man that walks with God. A man that doesn't walk in the world. But his delight. Listen to this. But his delight. His love. His joy. His hobby. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. There's that habitual practice. Meditating day and night. Meditating. Pondering. Searching. Taking a closer look. Looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it. He meditates day and night, and it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water who bears fruit in its season. You know, there's seasons of fruit, there's seasons of pruning, but you know what? You consistently walk with God, you consistently study the Word of God, you consistently obey the Word of God, there is great fruit. And you will bear fruit in your season, and your leaves, it says, shall never wither. Though there's no fruit, there's still greenery. There's still life there. And I love what he says, and in everything you do, you shall prosper. Everything. Everything you do. Spiritually, obviously speaking. It's going to prosper when you walk with God. There's great blessing in doing the Word of God. Jesus responds to a woman. He's preaching, and a woman sees him, and she's thinking, this guy is amazing, and she just cries out in the crowd, recorded for us in Luke chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. And she says, blessed is the womb who bore you, and the breast who nursed you. And he says, blessed, this is how he responds, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said it this way in John's gospel to his disciples on the night of the Passover meal, chapter 13, verse 17, he says, this is just sums it all up. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That's a good one to put to memory. Not hard. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So you can say that anytime you study the Bible. If you know these things, blessed are you if you keep them. You got to do them. They got to be a part of you. They've got to be who you are. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep it. Blessed are those who read, hear, and keep. It's a blessing. It's all over the scriptures. I want to leave you with 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I like that. His commandments are not what? They're not a bummer. They're not bondage. They're not burdensome. If we love the Lord, we will keep his word. We say often, Lord, I love you. But many times we don't keep his word. Brothers and sisters, James made it so clear, didn't he? I mean, verse 25 is so clear. Study the word, put it in your heart, don't forget it, and obey it, and God will bless you. It's simple as that. But the question is when we leave today, will we be like those that look in a mirror and then immediately forget what kind of face we have? And you know, like I said, this study we've done is the most important study we can do because it affects every study you'll ever hear. How do you respond to the Word of God? Let us be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Let us be those that experience the blessing. Church, I want to encourage you to get on your knees this day, this week. I want to encourage you to get on your knees before God and ask Him to search you and try you and show you the areas in your life that maybe you're hard, maybe you're deceived, where you're not obeying the Word of God. And then when He speaks to your heart, He convicts you. I want you to write them down. I want to just encourage you to write them down. Right there on your knees, just write down, okay, this is a sin in my life. This is a sin. The list might be long, okay. But you got to face it. And then whether it's a fast pace or a snail's pace, let's start doing. Let's start obeying. Let's start repenting. Let's start getting right with God. Let's start getting in God's Word. Let's get our right heart. Because you know what? It's never too late. And you know what? If we had a philosophy, even as the world can have, we're just going to do it. You've got the ability. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Because God has given you the ability. You've got the grace. It's God's grace. He's prepared the works beforehand. You can walk with Him. You have the faith you need. You've got everything you need. And the Word of God's going to show you that. And the Word of God's going to lead you in that. And so get on your knees and write out that which needs to change. And then do something about it. Do something about it. Start taking steps to do it. Instead of just being a forgetful hearer. Just kind of like, yeah, I know that. But who we don't want to think about that right now. We just want to keep going. But be a doer of the work. And this one is blessed in his doing.